Shopping at Amazon.com is more fun than a trip to the Berlin Museum of Letters. Don't commit a folly. Support Rob as a podcast when you visit robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from the most evocative part of East Berlin. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who proudly boasts, Ich bin ein Podcaster. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, and I am joined by the woman who is a walking Amazing Race encyclopedia. Here she is. You know her as at Haymaker Hattie on Twitter. It's Jessica Lease.
As always, it is a pleasure to be here, Rob.
Oh, well, it is always a pleasure to have you back. People are always asking for you on the Amazing Race podcast, so good to have you after a fun episode of the Amazing Race, even if nobody got eliminated.
Yeah, you know, if they're not going to eliminate anybody, the least they can do is put a bunch of exciting tasks in it. So
yes, there was a lot of excitement. We'll talk about everything going on, the double dating, all of the tasks, all of the follies on a week of the Amazing Race.
Sounds good.
That's good. All right. So if you want to subscribe to our Amazing Race podcast, you could do that, or subscribe to any of our podcasts if you go to robhasawebsite.com/showfeeds and get every edition of Rob Has a Podcast. And I was thinking of you the other day, Jessica, because I felt like on Survivor the other night during the reward challenge, I was pretty sure that seemed like a schmozzle to me.
It looked a little bit like one.
Yeah, go down the slide, go in like the honey, then dive into the rice, and then go down the slide head first. Seemed like a real schmozzle, minus the dogs and eggs.
Yeah, we needed more animals involved with that. Survivor just doesn't do enough animal tasks.
All right. So I was trying to think of a different way to do this. Rather than bouncing around as far as the teams go, and especially because it was a non-elimination, would you like to talk about this episode more chronologically than to bounce around team by team?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense because we didn't have a whole lot of mixing up.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, so the race started out, and basically all the teams got off started on the same foot. All the teams had to board this 5:26 a.m. train, but it seemed like there was a theme in this episode where the double date is getting a little crowded, where the girls seem to not want to race at the same time as the hockey players, except when it's convenient for them.
Well, who can blame them? I mean, they're getting all of the drawbacks and none of the benefits.
The girls are, or the
yeah,
or
the girls
guys are.
The girls are. They got these guys drafting behind them, basically not having to do any of the things that require any initiative, and then they can come in and like basically smoke them on the tasks because they're so much physically stronger.
See, I kind of saw it the other way around. I hope this isn't sexism on either of our parts. That I felt like that the guys are sort of leading the way for the girls and doing and helping them out more than they're helping out the hockey players.
Well, I think each team has their own strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the hockey players are not great on navigation, and they're not necessarily great on strategy, and the girls are a little bit better at that.
Okay. Could these teams get more out of just completely cooperating rather than it seems like the girls more so than the hockey players. I don't hear a lot of the hockey players of we got to get rid of these girls, but the girls are like, oh yeah, we know we're not really crazy to be racing around with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good that they're thinking about that because it really could end up screwing them in the long run, because as the field of competition narrows, if you can get rid of somebody that you're more confident you can beat, you should definitely not try to keep someone who's going to be better at you, better than you at certain things.
And now I know we haven't been super impressed with the country singers along the way here this season, but does this impress you more that they have the presence to say, hey, we got to get rid of these hockey players at some point?
Well, yes and no. It's Amazing Race 101. I mean, this is not a highly strategic game, so the very most basic elements of strategy you have to be thinking about. And I don't think they get a medal for doing that.
All right. Well, baby steps on this season of The Amazing
yeah,
Race.
Yeah, I mean, but at least they are thinking about it.
We're looking for strategy anywhere we can get it this season.
No kidding.
Yeah, we'll give it to them. So on the train, the big thing that ends up happening is it Bates that loses his bag?
Yeah, Bates lost his bag. Or so, I guess he had it stolen from him.
Yeah, so what happened? So they're just on the train and somebody just stole the bag while they were sleeping? I mean, that seems pretty ballsy.
Yeah, it's a little ballsy, but, you know, they're on their way to a major metropolitan area. You got to keep track of your stuff.
What stood out about Bates's bag? I mean, you had, like, you know, how many different racers around with the same sort of knapsack? Why Bates's bag out of anybody?
Well, didn't he say he had it on the seat across from him?
Yes.
So it wasn't next to him. So they could have grabbed it without disturbing him at all.
I mean, aren't they in sort of an enclosed space like a train? Like, shouldn't he like go up and down all the cars and try to see who has a backpack? I mean, there was nothing of value in it, right?
No, probably not. It was just a bunch of like stinky hockey player clothes. he had his passport on him. And I think Anthony had charge of the Amazing Fanny Pack. So, yeah. He could have, but also that train doesn't go directly to Berlin. It stops a lot of places. If I'm a bag thief, I'm going to take that bag. I'm going to get off at the very next stop.
Ah. Now, what is in an Amazing Racer's backpack?
Usually just I think they're allowed to take 3 changes of clothes and then whatever other random supplies they're allowed to have. I know they can't have anything navigationally related, but they can bring things like work gloves and, you know, winter gear, then extra pair of shoes. I don't know. Yeah. Nothing that's going to be a huge draw.
Yeah, and this wasn't a total debacle like the James and Abba debacle from last season where they lost the passport. That's where I was thinking this was all going when it first happened, but it's just a bunch of laundry.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give it to Bates for being smart enough to remember when that happened and have his passport on his person. Now, because you can have anything else be missing.
When did they film this season? Because they would not have seen those episodes, right? As I understand it, right? That
they would not have seen these episodes. This was actually, I know right around when this was happening, because this was about 3 weeks before we were in Berlin. So it was like beginning of December. So they would not have seen those episodes, but they would have seen other seasons where that exact same thing happened.
Now, you were telling me earlier before we started this podcast that this was a perfect episode to have you on because you recently vacationed in all the places where the Amazing Racers went to.
Yeah, well, just the one this time. But yeah, we spent 5 days over New Year's in Berlin, and it was about 3 weeks after the racers were there. They went to a lot of the same places.
Did you visit the Museum of Letters during your time there?
No, we did not, sadly. It may have been closed for the holidays because, you know, I love me some letters. I would have been very happy to see that.
Okay, we'll have to hear if you went to the Salon obstacle course as well in your travels.
It's a little too hip for me.
Yes. All right, well, we'll get to that in a little bit. So after the bag gets stolen on the train, then all the teams make their way to the Ford. What was the car? Was it a Focus?
Yeah, it was a Ford Focus.
Yeah. Has all of this amazing race you've watched inspired you to go out and purchase one of these cars yet, Jessica?
I don't know. I have this odd feeling that I'm meant to own a Ford, and I can't really explain why that is.
What has been the most exciting feature of the Ford Focus that you've learned about over the years on The Amazing Race?
I think I like the fact that you have to answer trivia questions before you can turn it on.
Yeah, how does that work? Does that have any sort of bearing in the actual, like, can you play, like, Mega Touch and, like, games in the Ford Focus, or is that only for the Amazing Race edition?
Yeah, I have to imagine that if you had that capacity in your car, it would cause a lot of wrecks.
Maybe only if you're stopped can you answer these questions.
Maybe. I think it was more like it was kind of showcasing the OnStar-esque features that the car has.
Yeah. Did Max lose his conservative card by not being able to answer the Ronald Reagan trivia question?
Yeah, I think they're going to disown him. Like, Rush Limbaugh is on the horn to whoever's in charge of that right now.
You know, I had my tinfoil hat on, and obviously there's no way this could possibly be true. But after all the hubbub about the Vietnam Gate a couple of weeks ago and all of the uproar at all the conservatives being upset with the Amazing Race a couple of weeks back, was this sort of a peace offering to intercut Ronald Reagan clips into Amazing Race episodes?
You know, that didn't occur to me, but you're probably right. I mean, maybe they're just trying to be fair and balanced.
Yeah, The Amazing Race is fair and balanced, too.
Yeah.
I was going to tweet out something about that, and I thought that the people were not going to be able to interpret my sarcasm on Twitter, and I was going to get a lot of angry tweets back from some other Maxes out there, so I thought better of it earlier tonight.
Yeah. Well, Twitter is a difficult medium to convey that kind of high-level sarcasm.
Yeah, but obviously they had asked a Ronald Reagan trivia question well before there was ever a conservative uproar about the Vietnam episode. So there's no way. Now maybe they changed the edit. Maybe they said, oh, let's put some Ronald Reagan in there. That'll make everybody happy.
Yeah, they could very well have played it up later on.
Yes.
And realizing that, oh, we have a Ronald Reagan reference in here. Let's just make it much bigger.
Sure. So really, and Max was the only person to stumble on that question.
Yeah, although there were some fun other stumbles.
Yeah, so, go on.
Apparently, someone on Twitter, I didn't catch this myself, but someone on Twitter informed me that the country girls were not sure which wall would have been meant by that question, and they wondered if it was maybe the Great Wall of China.
Oh, okay, that's possible.
That would be a much harder wall to tear down.
It would take a lot longer.
A lot longer.
So now the teams head off to the Brandenburg Gate. This is an instance where now the country singers, the hockey players don't know what the answers are. They ask them what the answers are, and the country singers just sort of drive off without telling them.
Yeah, which was smart.
Yeah. But the hockey players are so good-natured, they don't really think anything of it. They're not really offended by this.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to be in an alliance with someone, a good person to be in an alliance with is someone who's not going to be able to tell when you're screwing them.
Yeah. And so, Jessica, when you were in Berlin, did you do any base jumping?
I did not, but I did walk right by that hotel. That was where we were staying. That was our subway stop, was Alexanderplatz, which is right by that building. And I don't know if you're allowed to do that as a general rule. I don't think that was set up when we were there.
So does the Amazing Race just set up base jumping there, or do they have base jumping there occasionally and Amazing Race happened to be there when they were doing it?
I think they may have set it up especially for the Amazing Race, but there was, like, you saw the logo for the company. It was like basejumping.de. So clearly there's like an established presence for it.
Is this a product placement?
I think you have to give them a little product placement if they're helping you out for your show.
Okay. So now I want to understand the terminology, right? So base jumping does not actually involve any sort of jumping. Is this right? That they just sort of like lower you out there and then just it's like a free fall?
Yeah, it's more base falling, but I guess base jumping sounds more impressive.
See, I think I would have an easier time with that than base jumping, because I think I would stand at the edge, be like, I'm not jumping, I can't jump. But once they put you in the harness, and they sort of just lower you over there, and then somebody else is releasing you, I feel like I could potentially do that.
Yeah, but you still have to step out, and I think that would be kind of scary.
I think it'd be a little scary. Now, are we sad that we missed out on possibly seeing Winona do this task?
I'm not sure Winona would have ever gotten that far. I think we would have seen her standing on the ledge for like 3 days.
Were you impressed that I really thought Joey's shrieking was going to go into another galaxy, but he mostly kept his composure throughout this. I think the scorpions, seeing the scorpions on his arm made him shriek a bit more.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed because I was waiting all episode. There were so many chances for Joey to completely lose control of himself, and he didn't do it. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah. So after base jumping came along, everybody got through the base jumping. Okay. Now, this is where things started to get a little tricky for the teams this week. They had a choice between Font Follies or Trains Trials. Is that what they were?
I think so. I don't know. It was big letters and little trains.
Yes. Now, ironically, I feel like the Trains Trial would have been a much easier task to complete than Font Follies.
That's sure what it looked like to me.
But I feel like I would be much more likely to have selected Font Follies because it sounds like it would be so much more fun.
Yeah, like I guess that's kind of a cardinal rule of the Amazing Race. If you have two tasks to choose from, always go with the one that sounds like it's more fun.
Yeah, but unfortunately, this was not actually more fun.
No, unfortunately not.
So apparently there is a museum of letters in Germany. Now, I know you work in advertising, right? You must be very familiar with typography. Have you ever had a desire to visit the Museum of Letters and Fonts?
If I'd known that existed when I was in Berlin, I think we would have gone. It looks pretty awesome. I mean, I work in publishing, and I do a little graphic design on the side, and I've been a font nerd for years and years. It's like even lamer than Sheldon Cooper's model train love is my font love.
What are some of your favorite fonts, Jessica?
Well, my favorite font, I enjoy Palatino Linotype. Helvetica is always a classic.
Very classic. Yeah, very, very good. Now, I did not... For the Museum of Letters, why did they have to be flashing neon letters? It seemed like all the letters in the Museum of Letters all were very much in the red or yellow flashing sort of family.
Well, I think that was just one room of the museum. That, you know, this is our flashing letter room, and then you can go into another room and look at different letters.
The Amazing Racers did not seem particularly impressed with the Museum of Letters.
No, they didn't, but it takes a very special kind of person to truly appreciate fonts.
They really seem to be poo-pooing the fact that it was in a mall also.
Yeah, well, there was that. Can't be that great of a museum if it's in a mall.
I mean, what are some... Is, like, the Museum of Letters and the fonts, is there, like, a font hall of fame?
Maybe there is. I've not heard of such a thing, but I do know... From having traveled a little bit around Germany, there are a lot of really weird little museums like that. Like, you have the big, amazing ones, and then you have these very small, strange ones.
Should all the letters from Font Follies be keeping with the most folly-ish font and have all been in Comic Sans?
I think I would have taken a look at that task, and I would have had to fast forward through it. I don't think I could have handled watching that.
Why, you hate Comic Sans?
Of course I hate Comic Sans.
Everybody hates Comic Sans. It's the least popular font.
No, like middle-aged women who work in offices and have discovered you can change fonts. Those people love Comic Sans.
Yeah, we could do a whole Comic Sans podcast at some point.
Well, you know, we do have a hiatus coming up. We're going to need a podcast about something.
Fontcast. Jessica
Rob
has a
podcast.
All right, so now the teams had to select letters. Now, it seemed like there would be a lot of strategy to selecting the correct letters here. Now, I thought that Max and Katie had the right idea. Did Katie have the lowercase b?
Yeah, Katie had the lowercase b and Max had the lowercase o.
So very good. It seemed like they did a good job. The key to the font challenge seemed to be finding a letter that had sort of a circle in it that you could put your arm through.
Yeah, you just need to have some kind of purchase on the letter. Like the worst one would have been lowercase l.
Yeah, that would have been. But could you have carried it sort of horizontally?
Yeah, maybe. You could have like tucked it under one arm, but that gets very unwieldy. If you don't have it perfectly balanced, it ends up being terrible.
So I was trying to think of what would be some of the worst letters. Are there any other letters that would be particularly bad?
I think a capital Y would be hard.
Yeah, I could see that being pretty tricky.
And maybe, you know, it was a German font museum. I would not want to carry anything that had umlauts on it.
Yeah, that would be very tough. Although if it was a U, maybe you could just throw that over your shoulder.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, did you think that Katie should... I thought Katie was going to get to the museum and they were going to tell her to go back because it seemed like she bumped into something and the light stopped flickering on her lowercase b.
Yeah, I thought so too. I made a note of that. But yeah. It turned out, as long as she didn't crack it.
Only if you crack the letters, that's what they have a problem with. And then, was it Anthony or Bates? Bates had a problem, right?
No, it was Anthony that I think that cracked his V.
Okay, I thought Anthony's bag got stolen, but then Bates had a problem with his V.
No, other way around. Bates had his bag stolen. Anthony cracked his V.
Okay, so yes. And it's always an issue when you have a problem with your V.
It's true. You never want to crack your V.
You never want to crack your V. So as we're going along here, so meanwhile, while everybody is carrying the letters, only Joey and Megan go to set up the model trains, which you would think of would be very an easy task, but Joey and Megan seem to struggle with this.
Yeah, it looked like there was a lot of small, subtle details involved with the train.
Now, it seemed like at a couple points there was actually like a tree in the middle of the path of the train. Did Joey and Megan set up the tracks and the tree and not realize that the train at some point was going to hit the tree?
Yeah, I think they probably didn't have a sense of how far out you needed to keep the tracks clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you really, but couldn't you put the trees anywhere?
Yeah, I don't know. Like maybe there were more rules than we saw, but I don't know why you wouldn't just take all the trees and set them up in like the middle where they're not anywhere near the tracks.
Now, my favorite part of this task is, and any time this comes up on The Amazing Race, I love this the most. Basically, when there's like a whammy type animation that comes out, and I love this on the train, when every time the train crashed, there would be the cartoon animation that would come out and do the train crash sound effect. I love that.
Yeah, it looked like something off of Blind Date.
Yes, I love that. I feel
it's like train crash in 5, 4, 3, 2, boom.
Yeah, why don't we have more annotations on The Amazing Race?
I would watch that, or they could even like rerun the series and do pop-up Amazing Race.
Yeah, I would love that. Maybe you could get a job writing for The Amazing Race, writing annotations.
Well, you know, CBS knows where to find me.
Yeah, well, I don't want them to steal you away.
I'd be all up in that.
Yeah, my favorite sort of Amazing Race animation annotation, I think, was during the Brendan and Rachel season or the one after that with the ping pong task where the girl, you had to beat the girl in ping pong. I think it was the one with the twinnies. It was the one after Brendan and Rachel.
Yeah, it was last season. Yeah.
That was my favorite, where they had like the little animation of her like cheering when she beat you. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And there was one a few seasons ago where they did like this whole fake Japanese game show.
Yes,
and they
yes.
had to eat the giant wasabi bombs, and they had a whole bunch of animation set up for that.
Yeah. Was that in the final four of the Brendan and Rachel season?
They did one then, and they did one like a few seasons before that. It was whatever season had the poker players.
Okay.
Yeah, might have been – it was before we were podcasting.
Okay, yeah, so a while back.
Yeah, a while back.
So Joey and Megan are struggling along and everybody's going along with the letters, and then Bates and Anthony go and get in the cab. Now, Scott St. Pierre wrote to me on Twitter and asked, did the task say that you have to drive to the task, and did Bates and Anthony break the rules by getting in a taxi?
I don't think they broke the rules because they did drive to the task when they initially got there. I think whatever you do like around that, unless it says specifically on the clue, you can't take a taxi. I think they were allowed to take one back to the location because they had already, in fact, driven there.
Okay, so no harm, no foul.
Yeah, no harm, no foul.
Okay. And meanwhile, Max and Katie get through the letter task. Okay, they do a fine job with that. Then everybody else at least seems to have a little more difficulty with it. The country singers, they get through it. They're fine. They're off to the next task. And then Mona and Beth, the roller derby moms, they eventually get there, but they're going to run into some problems because they can't seem to find the next location.
Yeah, they were having all kinds of trouble navigating.
Yeah. So this next location, I thought this was very interesting. So apparently Berlin is the hippest city and there's a pretty evocative part of East Berlin, says Phil. Now, do you watch any Saturday Night Live, Jessica?
Yeah. In fact, I think you're referring to Berlin's hottest nightclub being Salon.
Yes, yes. I was that really it was like Phil was taking on the persona of Stefan in this episode, talking about Berlin's hottest nightclub is called Salon. This place has got everything. It's got trivia questions of historical figures, coins, downed electrical wires, strobe lights, and a white room. It's really
a white room full of clues.
Yes. Stefan would have been so happy at this part of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, he would have loved it. I really wanted Phil to like cover his mouth with his hands and start giggling.
Yes. Yes. So, and you would not be interested in going to check out a place like this during your trip?
I think I might be a little bit too uncool to go into a place like that.
Joey loved it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Joey's much cooler than me.
Joey looks like Stefan a little bit.
He does a little bit. I was waiting for someone to make the reference on the show. That would have made my night.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, that is very, very funny. And so, yeah, why did you have to ask a trivia question to the guy or answer a trivia question to get the coin from the guy?
It looked to me like on this entire leg, the race designers were thinking, wow, you know, we had a lot of really easy legs. This one's got to be a little bit tougher. What if this one's not tough enough? What can we do to make it tougher? Let's add some trivia questions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So what happens at this bar? Like, you go to this bar and then, like, I want to know, how does this obstacle course get used on days that they're not filming The Amazing Race?
I don't know. Maybe they've got a DJ in there.
It seems like a colossal waste of space, right?
It really does.
It's like you go to this bar, and it seems like a pretty boring bar. Like the whole rest of the bar isn't like a nightclub.
Yeah, no, it looked like a total dive.
It was like a total dive, but then you get a token, and then they put you in like this horrible room with flashing lights, and then you have to try to find your way out into this white room. I don't understand why anybody would do this.
Yeah, well, you know, it does kind of... There's a lot of sort of weird artsy stuff like this, especially in East Berlin. And there are a lot of kind of junked out warehouses where these sorts of things take place. So it's improving a lot. Like they're gentrifying a lot of areas, but there are still little pockets of strange quasi-bohemian avant-garde things like this. It doesn't completely surprise me.
Now, all the teams seem to, while they were doing this, they all sort of made references to be like, boy, I don't do drugs, but if I did, then I would know what this feels like.
Well, there you go. You hit the nail on the head. I think what you're supposed to do is do the drugs and then go through the course.
Is that, what is the drug scene like in Berlin? Not that you would know from your travels, but is there is there a big drug scene there?
Well, I don't believe that any of the big drugs are legal. I mean, certainly not like Amsterdam, but I think there's certainly a lot of, you can get it if you want it and you have some idea of what you want and where you want to use it.
Is this where Walter White is exporting all that crystal meth in the fifth season of Breaking Bad?
Maybe so. I don't think Germany has a huge meth problem, okay. But maybe it's up and coming.
It's somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, it's probably Eastern Europe, yeah. I would guess.
Not East Berlin.
No.
So, Max and Katie, they get through the maze all right, that Katie doesn't seem to have too much of a problem with it. And then the country singers, they get through it okay. Eventually, Bates and Anthony, they decide they go into the train museum. Did the train conductor seem a bit bored to you?
Yeah, he kind of did, but I think... I mean, what was he going to do? Someone else was playing with his toys.
So normally when you go visit the train museum, he's controlling the whole train and everybody's watching him?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay. Was that a sore spot for Bates and Anthony after Bates's bag was stolen to have to then play with trains?
Maybe. It's just kind of rubbing it in his face.
I think so. So then after that, Joey and Megan have to finally go through the obstacle course. Now, Joey and Megan, of course, are, and in fairness to them, what are they, like 19? I mean, how do they know,
yeah,
history questions?
That's true. Joey's 21 and Megan's 25, I think.
Okay. So they are younger. I cut them some slack on not knowing the historical questions. So
come on, Rob. I wasn't alive when this happened, and I knew the answer to that question.
Yeah, but I don't know. Well, I feel like they seem very involved with the whole YouTube thing. Maybe they're too busy to know any history.
Yeah. In fact, here's a fun trivia fact, if trivia facts are ever fun. But this June is the 50th anniversary of the Ich bin ein Berliner speech.
Yeah. Well, you're very well educated, and you know a lot of history. I think that, you know, Joey probably just looks everything up on YouTube. He doesn't have to know anything.
That's true. In this modern age, you can Google anything you want.
Yeah. You just have to go to the library to look something up. Now you just go on your phone.
It's true.
Yeah. So Joey not wasting any time with history, and then so who can blame him? And so Joey ends up asking people for some, he needs the answer to the question. And I thought it was a very strange encounter that happened. Joey asked somebody the question, who said that? And we see in the caption, somebody says to Joey, I thought you were with the cat police.
I think they were just like saying random German words at him because they knew it was going to mess with him.
You think so? So did you encounter any cat police during your time in Germany?
I did not. But, you know, I didn't commit any cat crimes.
Are the cat police looking for people who are stealing cats, or are they penalizing cats for poor behavior?
Maybe they're penalizing cats.
Is it like a dog catcher?
Maybe it is like a dog catcher.
Okay. So, yes, the cat police, I'd like to know more about them. I think that'd be a very interesting occupation to have on a future season of Amazing Race, the cat police officers.
Yeah, I'm Googling right now.
Cat police?
Yeah, this is actually, I Googled Katzenpolizei, which is German for cat police, and there are images of police officers petting cats, so I'm not sure.
We don't know. If any of our listeners have more about the cat police, we're very intrigued. And do they look like Joey? That's the better question.
You know, they look like pretty badass cops, actually.
Whoa. That could be a good reality show. So finally, Bates and Anthony, they make their way to the salon, and so do Mona and Beth. So now we have a real race to the finish here. Now, the teams in this wacky sort of funhouse maze, they start to work together. Now, who's in there? That's Anthony, and is that Mona or Beth?
I think that's Beth.
Okay. So do you agree with the decision to work together in there?
You know, they know they're in the back of the pack. I don't necessarily think you should work together. But on the other hand, you don't want to cultivate any bad blood.
Yeah. I was hoping that when Anthony goes up the ladder and sees what's in there, that he like yells down to whoever the other roller derby mom was, like, oh, no, nothing up here.
Like, it's definitely... Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I would do. But
yeah, it's definitely not up here. Just a bunch of spiders and skunks. Don't come up here.
It's a whole room full of scorpions.
Yeah.
And they're going to jump on your hand.
So, yeah, I was surprised that. And then we have a race to the finish. And, of course, I started to do the math before this episode even came on tonight. And I said, oh, boy, I think, was there five teams left in this three episodes? So I know, you know, we're going to have a non-elimination leg somewhere along the way. I bet they do it tonight. And, of course, double elimination, which means we should be all out of double eliminations for the rest of the season.
Yep, we are. We're completely like someone's getting eliminated every leg until the end.
Yeah. So a real fight to the finish there. And Mona and Beth get to stay in the race to race for yet another week.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of odd that instead of faking out the team that was supposed to be eliminated, Phil actually goes and fakes out Bates and Anthony.
Yeah. Which is odd because I don't know how there's any reason why you could fake them out, the team that comes in fourth place.
Well, didn't Scott point it out? He could have faked them out about, like, taking the cab.
Yeah, I guess so.
However, you've broken the rules, and now you have to pay a penalty.
Yeah. You know, going back to that, we didn't have you on the show last week when Chuck and Wynonna had the 30-minute penalty. Are there different time lengths of penalties that they can enforce? Like, are certain penalties, like an hour penalty? It seemed like 30 minutes was arbitrary.
Yeah, it. I know that earlier in race history, you would get a penalty equal to the amount of time they estimated you saved by cutting whatever corner it was. So, like, if you took a cab when you were supposed to walk, they'd figure out how much time you saved, and that was your penalty, plus, like, an extra couple minutes. And I think they rounded up to, like, the nearest half hour.
Okay. So, did you have any issue with 30 minutes for Chuck and Wynonna last week?
That seemed pretty fair. Although Chuck and Wynonna, in a bunch of post-race interviews, claimed that the clues were kind of vague about what they could and couldn't do. So they felt it was unfair.
Did you like the appearance of the switchback last week?
I did. That was a really fun task when they had it before. And I like a switchback thrown in there instead of a detour. It seems like it's more fun when everybody has to do it and everybody has to get to the end of it.
Yeah. So how often do they do a switchback?
That was the third switchback in Amazing Race history.
Oh, my God.
And they've had a couple of other times where they've recycled the task and not labeled it as such.
I don't understand the terminology a switchback. Why can't they call it a flashback?
Well, what transportation term is a flashback? So switchback is a railroad term.
Oh, boy. That's a real stretch, Jessica.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't make them up.
It's a real, real, real stretch.
They're running out of hackneyed metaphors, you know? Give them a break.
Yeah. Like a re-entry or something like that. I don't know.
They'd already used U-turn.
Yeah, I guess so. Really. I did feel like the switchback to the cheese challenge really did not nearly become as eventful as the original version of that.
It's true. Well, they had snow on the ground, I think, was the issue. Because when they had the little backpacks that kept falling apart and the cheeses kept getting out of control, that was classic television there. And this time, the cheese didn't go very far if you lost control of it.
Yeah. Now, is that how cheese is actually transported? Is that how the Amazing Race comes up with these ideas?
I'm not sure. I think that doesn't seem like a very efficient way of doing things.
No.
I feel like if I was in charge of it, I'd just build a slide and I'd send the cheese down the slide.
Okay.
Or like roll it down a chute.
All right. Well, let's talk about the teams now as they stand. So the order of finish this week, it was Max and Katie first, who each win a brand new car. Very nice prize here in the middle of the race.
But doesn't that mean they're not going to win the race now?
Is there a car curse?
Or is that only true? Is that only true of Survivor?
Yeah, I don't know. Do they give cars away that often on the Amazing Race?
They do. It's like every other season, I think they give out a car.
Yeah.
And I guess I can't remember offhand who has and has not won the car.
Okay.
So I don't think there's a car curse per se, but that's what I always go to.
Max and Katie 1, Joey and Megan 2, Caroline and Jen 3, Bates and Anthony 4, and Mona and Beth bringing up the rear. Did we see a passing of the baton to Max and Katie, who could potentially be the team to beat in the Amazing Race instead of Bates and Anthony?
That's possible. I mean, Max and Katie are much more focused and much more willing to take initiative than Bates and Anthony have ever been.
Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if Max and Katie turn out to be the winners. It seemed like they, for a team that was at the back of the pack for most of the race, I feel like they had a lot of airtime all throughout the season. They didn't turn out to be the villains that we expected them to be, but I would not be surprised to see them, you know, at least in that last episode as one of the top three.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised either. They really seem to have it figured out now.
Yeah. So they are running a very efficient race, and they were also your pick preseason.
They were, and I was completely facetious about that. I'm like, oh boy, these people look like I'm going to hate them, so clearly they're going to win.
Yeah.
But now I kind of like them, and I kind of want to see them take it all home.
And for Bates and Anthony, this episode was really just great evidence on the Amazing Race. The previous legs of the race have absolutely no bearing, that every episode of the race starts from zero, and there's no way to build up like a good, like anybody could get eliminated or come in last any leg of the race.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be lucky every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody is immune to a stretch of really rotten luck.
Yeah. So for Bates and Anthony, Are they sure they could bounce back? But they did seem almost unbeatable the last couple of weeks.
They did. They had, if there is such a thing as momentum on the Amazing Race, they certainly had it.
They had it. But maybe then once they lost that bag, that's where all the momentum went.
Yeah, they ran into the bad luck. And I guess the trick here is, how are they going to respond to that? Like, are they going to let it get up into their heads now that they're at the back of the pack? Or are they going to just kind of coast along and be the easygoing guys we know they usually are?
How much time would you guess is in between Max and Katie and Bates and Anthony right now?
It didn't look like much time. It's not more. I would say it's not more than a couple hours, and it's probably much less than that.
Okay.
They all looked pretty close together this time.
Who do we think is going to go home next week? Give me your pick for who's out next.
You know, the Derby moms have a speed bump.
Yeah.
So I think that's as good a guess as anybody.
Yeah, I feel like they had a good run, Roller Derby moms.
Yeah, they were strong racers, but they're also, and again, we got to talk about edits. They're not getting any kind of edits.
No.
They've been completely invisible all season.
They've got the least screen time by far out of the four teams left.
Yeah, I mean, unless they're like pulling a Natalie White here.
Yeah, and good for Joey and Megan, who I think from the beginning of the season, we felt like they were going to be the first or second team out. But here they are, second place with a shot at this thing.
Yeah, and they completely, they're really starting to figure that out, too. I feel like they are the most emotional team left,
yeah.
And they kind of let it get away from them, but then they're right back in it.
Let me ask you this question. Who's the fan favorite this season? Who are the most Amazing Race fans rooting for?
I'm not sure. I hear a lot of Bates and Anthony, and I hear a lot of Joey and Megan.
Okay.
Like, those are kind of the two teams that people seem to be buzzing about the most.
Yeah, no clear favorite, I feel like, out there.
No, definitely not. I mean, we don't usually have one team that everybody loves.
Mm-hmm.
We have like a polarizing team and a team that everybody seems to think is the least objectionable, but there's never one team that everybody wants to win that everybody's pulling for.
Okay.
I think.
Well, how about this? This year at TarCon, which team is getting the biggest round of applause when they enter the TarCon arena?
I think that depends a lot on who wins.
Who wins?
Yeah, because I don't necessarily think it's going to be the team that wins. Certain teams won't get the huge reception, but if Joey and Megan win, people are going to go nuts for them.
Okay. We'll
see. Max and Katie win, not so much, I don't think. Well, I personally, I think they're great, but I'm strange like that.
Yeah. What about the Caroline and Jen, or Bates and Anthony, Mona and Beth? Could they be beloved?
I think so. I don't think there's a team out there right now that people are going to be really angry about seeing them win.
Yeah.
It's not like the Brenchel season where I think there would have been mutiny.
Okay. All right. Well, I had a lot of questions for you tonight, Jessica, from Twitter. I asked everybody to send us your Amazing Race questions about tonight's episode, and they sent them to me on Twitter to @RobSisternino. So let's see. Jackson Kruger wants to know, if everyone compared the maze on to being on drugs and the YouTubers loved it, does that mean that they would love drugs? That's a good question.
That's a very good question. I think it depends on the drug.
Okay.
I think certain drugs they would probably not like very much at all.
Yeah. And are there certain drugs that you would like more going through the obstacle course?
I'm pleading the fifth on this one, Rob.
Yeah. And I bet there's certain drugs that you would like more playing with the trains.
That's very, very true.
Yeah, I think so. I think I would rather play with the trains.
Yeah, I think I would too.
John Johnson wants to know, will there be a U-turn move like he uses the Twitter name for Nadia and Natalie did like last season? All right, so next week on the race, we've got this U-turn, not a blind U-turn, regular U-turn coming up. Who's U-turning who, Jessica?
Well, I think this is your last U-turn.
Now,
I think you got to...
Yeah, and let's also keep in mind that we have a couple of alliances here. Max and Katie are in first, and they're not really working with anybody. Would you say is that fair to say they're sort of like a lone wolf?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they kind of get along with everybody. They didn't choose an allegiance.
Joey and Megan, they're with the roller derby moms, and Bates and Anthony are with the country singers. So don't expect country singers. You wouldn't think country singers and roller and hockey players to U-turn each other. And Joey and Megan, could we just see nobody use the U-turn?
We could see nobody use the U-turn. That's happened before.
Hmm.
And you see that people get all sanctimonious about it. Like, we are choosing not to U-turn anybody because we don't really need to.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see a lot of that, I think.
So it's really going to be a matter of who gets there first. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
So do you think that Joey and Megan, for instance, would U-turn either the country singers or Bates and Anthony?
I think they would, especially if they were right on their tail.
Hmm. Okay.
Like, that's where you see the U-turn, like, best used. If two teams are running directly up to it and one team gets there first and slaps the U-turn on them right in front of their face, that's the best kind.
Let me put this hypothetical out there. Because so Joey and Megan, okay. U-turn, Bates and Anthony, who are in fourth place, okay?
Yep.
Country singers are in fifth place. Would Bates and Anthony U-turn the country singers who were behind them?
I don't believe they would. I could see the other alliance turning on itself, but I don't see Bates and Anthony U-turning the country singers because they've got objectives that are not necessarily related to the game, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Freeman, the esteemed blogger on Rob Has a Website, she wants to know, the Hockey Brothers' decision to follow the moms, was that smart play or lazy? Anything the moms could have done to shake them?
I don't think there was anything they could have done at that point to shake them. And I do think it was very lazy on the Hockey Bros part because it's just typical. It's emblematic of what they've done all season.
Whoa, you really don't like these hockey guys.
I'm sure they're very nice people. They're just, I don't see them being these racing powerhouses like many of the fans have been telling me all season. I see them doing that like NASCAR drafting thing. They find someone who's going the right way and they follow them.
Well, they did win three legs in a row.
They did. And I mean, I can't deny that they're doing very well. But I think especially early on, they were more content to let other people do the work for them.
Okay. So Ari Ferrari wants to know, have you ever been arrested by the cat police?
Well, like I said, I've not really been messing with any cats.
Yeah. they're out there looking for cat burglars.
Oh.
Yeah, there you
go. Hit the bell on that one.
No, don't. Okay. Let's see. How about Benji Glowinski wants to know, since David and Connor left the show, has this season been better, the same, or worse?
I got to say worse. On the other hand, David and Connor would be smoking everybody. They'd be hours out in front. So maybe not.
Yeah. How does this rate for you as a season of The Amazing Race?
It's middle of the pack. I mean, I don't hate it, but I don't love it. They've had some great locations, and I like everybody that's left, generally speaking. But, you know, it's not... I'm not rabidly tuning in every week. Mm-hmm. Like, I think at certain points, if I wasn't writing a blog about it, I'd probably have DVR'd it and saved it to watch in the middle of the week.
Yeah, watch it after Mad Men and Game of Thrones.
Yeah, or like put it on while I'm doing laundry or that sort of thing.
Yeah. All right, Wes Sutton wants to know, this time last season, Jessica had inside info on the reaction to the winning team and their edit. Any similar info now? Now, you had said around this time last season where you felt like while the Beekman boys were very far back in the race, you felt like they were getting a very positive winner edit. Do you see anybody with that same sort of edit now?
You know, I wouldn't call it inside information. That was me blindly guessing.
Yes.
But I do see... I don't see anybody getting this, like, kind of underdog edit this season. I feel like everybody is being portrayed as kind of equally strong.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, I would say the Derby Moms are definitely getting a non-winner edit because they seem like a fairly strong team. They've done pretty well most of the time, and we never see them.
Yeah.
So I think they're out of it entirely.
I would say the editing has been pretty even-handed for the other four teams. Not the roller derby moms, but I feel like everybody else has gotten a fair share of airtime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Tim Lamaster wants to know, how many times do you think that Team YouTube has revisited that salon since the filming of The Amazing Race?
Well, you know, they seem to like it a lot more than I expected them to.
They loved it.
Yeah.
So maybe they could go back.
Maybe they could go back, or they could just stay home and do a lot of drugs.
I guess so. That's really, I think you could just stay home and do a lot of drugs and then watch YouTube. I think that would really give you the same experience.
Yeah, you know, that. I think that's the takeaway from this episode, is that drugs are fun.
Jessica, we do not support illicit drug use on Rob as a Podcast. The opinions of Jessica Lease do not represent the opinions of Rob as a Podcast.
I didn't say those were my opinions. I said this was what the show
The Amazing
was.
Race?
Yeah.
Will The Amazing Race need to issue an apology next week for glorifying drug use?
You know, maybe, but I think maybe everybody has exhausted all of their outrage on Vietnam.
Okay. Do you think there will be a 2-hour finale this season?
Yes, I think there will.
Is it always a 2-hour finale?
No, it's not always. I think what it is it's two separate episodes that they just kind of munch into one episode.
Okay, so we've got basically 3 hours of Amazing Race left this season.
Yeah, 3 hours. And I think it depends on a lot of scheduling things, like when is Survivor ending and when do they want to have their finale. And sometimes it's just one episode with a final three, and sometimes it's two episodes back-to-back with a final four.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see. So the Survivor finale, I believe, to my knowledge, is Sunday, May 12th. So I think we're looking at a Amazing Race finale on Sunday, May 5th. That put next week's episode on Sunday, April 28th. So we'll get down to the final four, and then on May 5th, we'll have a 2-hour Amazing Race finale.
Yep, 2-hour Amazing Race finale and Tarkon.
Boom. All right, and you're all set? You're going to the Tarkon?
Oh, absolutely. I go every time.
Anything big lined up for Tarkon this year?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be kind of the same as always. It's always more fun when more racers show up. Like, we've had a couple in the past where just the winning team shows up and nobody else. So I'm hoping this season we get a lot of people, because they all seem like fun people.
Any word on who's on the docket for this year? Any buzz?
I don't usually get any of that. I'm not privy to most of that information. But I think we're going to see a fair number of teams.
Okay. Jessica, how are you not one of the... It really in the loop people on the buzz on Tarkon?
Oh, it's probably because I didn't start going to Tarkon until fairly late in the game.
Okay.
My first Tarkon was season 11. If I'd been on from the ground floor, I'd probably be a little bit more in the know.
In the know.
Right. I mean, I know who to ask if I wanted to know, but sometimes I just like to be surprised.
All right, good. All right, so we look forward to getting your reports from Tarkon again this year, and should be a very fun home stretch of The Amazing Race.
I think it will. I mean, I would volunteer to do a podcast for the finale, but usually I'm pretty drunk by the time the show is over, so I don't think anybody really wants
that.
That
could be a perfect time to do a podcast.
Maybe.
We could feel like you were in some sort of a maze at Carnival or at Salon.
That's pretty much exactly how it is.
Yeah. All right. So, Jessica, do you have anything left to talk about in your blog tomorrow?
I always come up with something.
All right. So, Jessica will have a whole nother angle on this episode of The Amazing Race. You can follow her on Twitter at Haymaker Hattie. And if you didn't see the episode, but were nice enough to listen to this podcast, and you'd like to see exactly what we were talking about, Eric Curto is going to have his video recap of The Amazing Race up on robhasawebsite.com either sometime on Monday night or at the latest by Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon. So you can check out Eric's take on this episode of The Amazing Race. And there's definitely going to be some fun stuff for him to talk about as we go along here. And then, Jessica, then it's Celebrity. Got to watch Celebrity Apprentice now after this. Got a podcast coming up on Monday night for that. And then we're going to do Survivor all over again.
I don't know how you keep up with everything.
Well, it's not easy. And, you know, maybe I'll take a little time off after we get through the perfect storm of reality TV. But that's, you know, we're in the home stretch. We've got about four more weeks until all these shows hit their finales.
Yeah, you know, it's exhausting enough just to have to watch all this TV.
It makes it easier for, honestly, if I wasn't doing the podcast, I probably would not be as excited about watching all these shows, but it's fun for me to watch all the shows because I know I get to talk about them. So that's what makes it a lot more fun to, every new episode is, you know, thinking of, okay, what are we going to talk about on this one? So it is fun for me to watch all the shows.
Yeah. And I have to say, I'm watching a lot more of them than I normally would, just because it gives me more podcasts to listen to.
Good, good. Glad you're having fun with all the reality TV. And I forgot even about the Big Brother Canada on Tuesday night, going to do another live Big Brother Canada update. Dan Gieseling has been in the Big Brother Canada house all weekend, so we'll talk about all that. Do you watch any Big Brother, Jessica?
I will catch it sometimes during the summer, but I have not been following the Canadian edition.
Okay. Well, you're missing a lot of fun because Big Brother Canada has been pretty good. A lot of twists.
That's what I hear.
Yes. It's like the collective film works of M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, that sounds very twisty indeed.
Very twisty indeed. Yeah. And then, of course, we'll keep going with all the Survivor stuff come Wednesday night. All right, Jessica. Well, thank you so much for all your time.
Well, thank you, Rob.
Yeah,
this is always fun.
Yeah, much appreciated. And thanks to you guys who are using our links for Amazon.com. We always appreciate it when you do your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.